Hey, this is Pastor Frank at Hope Church. Thanks for tuning into our teaching today. Enjoy.
Well, there you go. It's amazing to me what folks find to do with their time. What's most amazing about that is there are about 23,000 people, over 23,000 people that actually viewed that video on YouTube, which is amazing to me. Most importantly, there is a reason why I shared that video, which I realized was painful to watch. But a very good reason is Dick Rossio, who made that video, what he did is he, in a very slapstick way, shed light on what is becoming an epidemic in our culture in America, which is this idea of winning at any cost. We're seeing it not only in sports. I read some interesting articles by not particularly conservative outlets who talked about where in the world is the sportsmanship in sports anymore. And not only in sports, but in politics, in business, in school, even on the job, this idea that integrity no longer matters. It's just win at any cost. And that's a real problem. And as we wrap up this final teaching on the life of Joseph, if you're with us this morning for the first time, and I know we've got a crew from Five Rock here, so that's cool. So we want to say welcome. Yeah, we want to say welcome to you. And we're glad that you're here today. But as we wrap up, we've been studying this Old Testament character, Joseph, in the book of Genesis. If you have a Bible or you have it on a smart device, there's also Bibles in the seats in front of you. If you don't own a Bible and you'd like to take one of those, that's our free gift to you. You're welcome to do that. I want to welcome those who are watching via live stream as well. As we continue and we wrap up this study on the life of Joseph, this Old Testament character in the book of Genesis, and we're going to be in chapters 45 through 50 today. And so if you want to turn there, I encourage you to do that. Also want to mention that there's an outline that's in your weekly planner or in your bulletin I hope you received when you came in. You can fill that outline out, and there's some quotes and scriptures on there as well. But I want to remind us that Joseph was a guy who understood not only how to win through the ups and downs in life, but Joseph was a guy who learned how to win in the end. He's a wonderful study on how to win right and how to finish life well. And we're going to look at that this morning in this final teaching in this series. Start a brand new series next Sunday on how to make the rest of the year the best of the year. And we're going to walk through four priorities, so I hope you'll come and be a part of that. But let's remember that Joseph's story recorded for us is really similar to our story in one respect. This was a guy that faced both times to celebrate and times of sorrow. This was a guy that saw things go well for him and things not go well at all. This was a guy that knew what it was to have those meaningful moments and those really hurtful moments in life. So in one very real sense, his story is very much like ours, because all of us have those moments. All of us have those things that are a part of our story. Here's the deal with Joseph that's sometimes not part of our story. Joseph learned how to win through it all. And so we're gonna look at that this morning, but we've tracked through several things that he has won over. This was a guy that won over some pretty serious temptation. When a guy named Potiphar, who was his boss, his wife, Potiphar's wife, threw herself at Joseph. Joseph overcame sexual temptation, pretty big time. He overcame the temptation to use his authority and power for selfish gain. Boy, that's a message that we need to teach our politicians, right? Just saying, not going there, but just saying. But he won over that. He won over all kinds of temptation to become bitter and resentful in his life. This guy could have easily become belligerent and angry and inward focused, but he chose not to do that. This was a guy who could win over delays. We spent a whole Sunday talking about how we win over the delays in our life. Everybody has them. Everybody knows what it is to wait. When is it going to change, Lord? When am I going to turn the corner? When is it going to get better? When are you going to answer my prayer? When is this thing going to finally be over in my life? Delays. Delays. Some of you might be there this morning. You're in the middle of a delay. Joseph teaches us how to win over delays. And we looked at that. The fear of failure. That's another one. Pastor Sean did a great job talking about that a couple of weeks ago. We all face failure, and we all face the fear to fail. And here's the deal. Whatever you do with that fear of failure, if you respond correctly, it'll propel you forward to a whole new level in your life. Failure is often that pathway, or the fear of failure is often that pathway to success, to growth in our life. But otherwise, if we don't handle it right, we end up staying stuck in our lives. What are you afraid of that God is nudging you to do? What is it? Maybe it's to offer an apology. Maybe it's to take another step in your job. Maybe it's to take another step in your church. Maybe it's to take another step in your relationship. What is it that you're afraid to do that God's nudging you to do? What opportunity or challenge has come your way, and fear might be holding you back from saying yes? Okay? Big stuff. Like I said, he won over resentment. That's a huge message for our culture today. This is a guy who won over the world's wisdom. There is prevailing wisdom in our culture today that says, do this, do that. If someone harms you, harm them back. And Joseph, when he faced his brothers who had done horrendous harm to him, you know, he didn't use the world's wisdom. Pastor Mark did a great job talking about that last Sunday. He didn't use the world's wisdom. He used God's wisdom to face them and to walk through the difficulties and the conflict that he had with his siblings. I'm just saying this guy overcame a lot of stuff. So as we conclude today, we'll be in chapters 45 through 50. And we're not going to be able to cover everything that's in those chapters. So I asked myself the question, what are the three takeaways in Joseph's life, four takeaways, whatever they are, what are those things, Lord, that really helped him win in the end? And I came up with three. You might come up with more, but I want to cover three today that I think will be hugely beneficial for you and for me, okay? So let's jump in this morning, Genesis chapter 45, just going to kind of get us started with the first eight verses, and then we'll jump down to verses 12 through 14, okay? Let's follow along. This is now when Joseph has finally revealed himself. Remember, his brothers the whole time, he's the second in command over the vast empire of Egypt. His brothers have come to him for food because there is a famine. They don't know it's him, but he knows it's them. Let's remember that. That's the backdrop to these verses. He finally reveals himself to his brothers. Let's look at it. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly. This is an emotional moment. He wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" Remember, it's 22 years now since they sold him into slavery. 22 years later. But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there's been a famine in the land. For the next 5 years, there will be no plowing or reaping. But God sent me ahead of you," he says it again, "to preserve you a remnant on earth, to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, if it was not you who sent me here, but God, he made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, ruler of Egypt." Drop down to verse 12. "You can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that it is really I who am speaking to you. Tell my father about all the honor accorded me in Egypt and about everything you have seen." So he's saying, go back and tell him. "And bring my father down here quickly." Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin, and he wept. And Benjamin embraced him, weeping. And he kissed all his brothers, and he wept over them. Afterwards, his brothers talked with him. It is a powerful and emotional scene that culminates here with the revealing of his identity to his brothers. I want to leave you with three takeaways that allowed Joseph to finish well in life. He won in the end, and I am convinced it's because he pursued at least these three takeaways. Number one, I'm in your outline this morning. Keep pleasing God when you would rather be selfish. keep pleasing God when you would rather be selfish? That sounds simple, but it's not easy. It is simple, but it's not easy. Remember the words as we track through in this series that are said over and over about Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph through all the highs and lows, ups and downs in his life. God was with Joseph when things went well and when things were tough. And I will just say as a quick aside that God has been with Hope Church as well. There have been some great things that have been happening around here, especially over the last 16, 18 months. We've just seen a real, God's just up to some really, really cool things. And I'm going to unfold some new things that we're going to be going after as a church come fall and the new year in the weeks to come. But I've got to tell you one thing right now that I'm so excited about that has just happened. So several months ago, probably 3 months ago, Pastor Larry and Jan Tomlinson, who pastor Sweet Home Assembly of God Church in Sweet Home. Some of you know them. Some of you know the church. They're part of our missions convention every year. Great people, great church. He called me, said, Frank, I'm going to be retiring. And I would wonder if Hope Church would consider basically bringing Sweet Home Church under its banner. In other words, that we would become a part of Hope Church, that Hope Church would be one church in two locations. One church in two locations. Would you guys be open to discussing that? I said, absolutely. For those of you that don't know, that's a part of the DNA of this church better than 50 years now. This church has been doing that kind of a thing for many, many years, and I've renewed that vision in recent years of wanting to expand our reach beyond this campus to campuses everywhere because people need to know the love, acceptance, and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And so that's why we want to expand campuses. So long story short, had several meetings, spoke with the church, and anyways, 2 weeks ago, they voted to become a part of Hope Church. And it was a great vote. So excited for them. Now, what that means for us is a lot of things. It sets a lot of things in motion that I can't talk about today, but you'll be hearing about in the weeks to come. Some exciting things about opportunities to serve there. Okay, we'll need some help there. But the cool thing is we've got a guy named Pastor Cap Marks. Some of you know Cap. Cap is a wonderful leader, and he's going to step in for about 8 weeks as an interim pastor there, going to help us with this transition, going to encourage the folks. Today is Pastor Larry and Jan's last Sunday, and I've sent them a greeting via video and the church a welcoming. But I wanted us as Hope Church Albany to welcome the Sweet Home Church as a part of the Hope Church family. So this is what we're going to do this morning. We did it in the first service. We're going to do it in this service as well. Next Sunday, we're going to show a video. We're going to show this video of you and me welcoming Sweet Home Assembly as a part of the Hope Church family. And this is what we're going to do this morning. It's going to be real simple. All we're going to do with great enthusiasm this morning is say, Sweet Home Assembly, welcome to the Hope Church family. And Pastor Chip is going to record this, and then we're going to cheer at the end of that, and we're going to send that video to them next Sunday. So I'm going to ask you to stand, because I think you can get a little more enthusiastic when you're on your feet, okay? But it's going to be a lot of fun, all right? And then we'll show you the video as well, okay? But so on the count of three, all we're going to say is, Sweet Home Assembly, welcome to the Hope Church family. That's all we're going to say on the count of three, loud and enthusiastic. One, two, three. Sweet Home Assembly, welcome to the Hope Church family. Now let's give it up for them, right? Yeah. Woo! Yeah. Man. Yes. Yes. Awesome. Very good. Very good. Thanks Thanks so much, you guys. Thanks, Pastor Chip. Yeah, and so we're going to send that to them. They have no idea we're doing that. And so it'll just be a lot of fun. But when you think about seeking to please God, His agenda, not yours, His agenda, not mine, it takes some energy. See, the deal with Joseph is God was with him because Joseph was with God. And Joseph sought to really please God when it would have been a whole lot easier just to be selfish. And as you track through his life, you see this over and over again. I mean, when Potiphar's wife throws herself at him, the first thing he says, look at your husband's given me command over this entire household. The only thing he's kept from me is you. He says, I'm not touching you. Furthermore, I will not dishonor my God. Immediately, it was about pleasing God. Fast forward to chapter 40, and he's in prison, and the cupbearer and the chief baker, and they've had these dreams, and nobody can interpret their dreams. They say, man, we don't know what to do. I mean, Joseph, he could have easily said, look, I'm kind of a dream guy. I can interpret your dream. But that's not what he said. He immediately said, isn't it God who is the one who interprets dreams? I mean, again, he always deferred to God. And you can just go down the line, chapter 41, Pharaoh, the most powerful man on earth at the time, has a dream, but he doesn't know what it means. All of his players, all of those sayers, all of those guys that came along that were smart guys, who they couldn't interpret his dream. And he says, Joseph, you know, we hear you can interpret dreams. I love Joseph's response in chapter 41. He says, I cannot do it. He says, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires, and he does, through Joseph. I just love Joseph's humility. By the time you get to chapter 45, Joseph has revealed himself to his brothers, and that whole scene sends them back to their homeland, Canaan, to get his father. He wants to see his father. He hasn't seen him in over two decades. In verse 24, it's hilarious to me as I'm reading, as he sends his brothers off back home, Joseph tells his brothers, and don't argue on the way. I just a little line the Bible preserves. Don't quarrel on the way. After 22 years, he still knew his brothers. He still knew they'd fight about something. He says, just go back and tell Dad. Tell Dad what you've seen. Tell him I'm alive. Tell him what I'm doing, that I'm second in command over this vast nation of Egypt. Now, just picture for a minute what that is going to look like when his brothers get back to Canaan. How do you start that conversation with Jacob? I mean, Dad, you will never believe who we ran into in Egypt. You'll just never believe it. It's your son, Joseph, right? I mean, that's and Jacob, he doesn't believe him. I mean, the Bible says that he was stunned and that he didn't believe what they said. But eventually, they gave him enough proof that he said, oh my gosh, my son is alive. My son is alive. They go back to Egypt. They bring their father. And for the first time in over two decades, he's going to see Joseph. You got to know, this is not a day trip. The trip from Canaan down to Egypt or Goshen, where Joseph would meet them, it's about 200 miles. Well, you walk. It's like 10 miles a day. I mean, it's just like a three-week journey, man. This is a long journey back and forth from Joseph's homeland to Egypt where he is. And then you go to chapter 46, and Jacob has this dream, and God in this dream encourages him, Jacob, you should go to Egypt. No, you're doing the right thing. Fast forward to the last chapter, chapter 50. Joseph has been reunited with all of his siblings, with all of his brothers, and including Benjamin, right? And I had made the statement that he didn't know Benjamin before he was sold into slavery. But one of our small groups did a great study on that, and actually he did know Benjamin. Benjamin was a little toddler when Joseph was 17, sold into slavery. So he knew him as a little boy. Now Benjamin is a full-grown man. The next time Joseph. So that was kudos to that small group who did some good work and studied it on their own. But now we're in chapter 50. He's been reunited with his father. His father's had a conversation with Pharaoh himself. It's just quite a deal. You need to read all those chapters. I encourage you to do it. But then his father passes away. Joseph's father has died, and the last wish of his father was that he would not be buried in Egypt, but back home. So Joseph honors that. All of his brothers, a huge Egyptian entourage that goes back to their homeland, and they bury the father on their way back to Egypt again, right? There's a lot of trips. The brothers get afraid and probably deal with some shame still from what they did. And they go, oh man, our dad is dead. What if Joseph turns on us now? I mean, Joseph's second most powerful man in the land. He can do whatever he wants. Again, I love what Joseph says. We're talking about pleasing God and not yourself. Look at what he says in verses 18 and 19 of Genesis chapter 50. I love Joseph's response. See, it says, his brothers then came to him, threw themselves down before him, and they're scared to death. We are your slaves, they said. But Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Joseph knew his place. He knew his place. And he deferred to God again and again and again when it would have been a lot easier not to. He chose to honor God. Most things in your life, in my life, are out of control, friends. But the one thing that is not out of our control is our attitude and our response to the issues of life. We have control over our attitude. Who would you choose to please today? This win at all costs mantra that is sweeping across our nation. This idea, it doesn't matter what's right or wrong. It only matters that I win because this is the way I feel. That will never allow you and I to win in the end. And we won't finish well if we follow that. But Joseph didn't. He sought to please God. Here's the good news. God was with Joseph and God will be with you. And God will be with me. Do you choose to be with him? Do you choose to please him? Choosing to please God did not keep Joseph out of difficult situations. It did not, but I promise you, it carried him through difficult situations. Don't miss that, because he chose to please God. Earlier in this series, I made the statement that there are six words that will change the way you live every day. Six words. It's a question. Is God pleased with me today? Six words. It will change the way you approach life. Is God pleased with me today? It's one of the reasons why Joseph finished well. Number two, here's another takeaway out of his life. Keep forgiving people when you would rather get even. Oh, we see this over and over in Joseph's life. Keep forgiving people when you would rather get even. There's a quote I shared several weeks ago in this teaching series that is definitely bears repeating. It's worth repeating. It's at one of the early church fathers, Augustine. And this is what he said. And I think I've got it in your outline as well. We'll put it up on the screens. Resentment is like taking poison and hoping the other person dies. Just chew on that one a while. Resentment begins with an unwillingness to forgive. We spent a whole morning on resentment. It begins with an unwillingness to forgive, which is a form of pride. If you and I want to win in this life and win in the next, if you and I want to finish well in life, it will require us to do the hard work of forgiving. And it's work. It's work. Most of us have heard the tragedy by now in Charlottesville, Virginia, where a neo-Nazi sympathizer took his car and rammed through a crowd of protesters, injured 19, killed a young lady, 32-year-old Heather Hayer, and also two police officers were killed that day. A real tragedy on several levels. Dr. Albert Mohler, who is the president of Southern Baptist Seminary, wrote a great response. I want to share it with you. It's not in the notes or on the screens. But he said, I would argue that racial superiority in any form and white superiority as the central issue of our concern is a heresy. In other words, it's a false teaching. It's something the Bible doesn't support. The separation of the human beings into ranks of superiority and inferiority, differentiated by skin color, is a direct assault upon the doctrine of creation. And it is an assault to the imago Dei, or the image of God. It's Latin. The image of God in which every human being is made. Racial superiority is also directively subversive of the gospel of Christ, effectively reducing the power of his substitutionary atonement. We just celebrated that. He spilled his blood to cover over our foul-ups and failures, our sin. He died in our place, the substitutionary atonement, and undermining the faithful preaching of the gospel to all persons and to all nations. Well, it's a great word. It's a great response. Dr. George Wood, our outgoing general superintendent of the Assemblies of God, we're an Assembly of God church, and he is our leader nationally, made a great statement as well, and I do have that one on the screens for you. Take a look. Dr. Wood said, acts of hatred and racism, such as what was seen in Charlottesville, are despicable and hold no place in a civil society. May the world know we are disciples of Jesus by our love. By our love. Perhaps some of you caught the interview with Heather Heyer's father. It went viral. It went viral in part because people were so shocked that somebody would have the capacity through Christ to forgive something that was so awful. Watch this short clip of her father.
My daughter was a strong woman that had passionate opinions about the equality of everyone, and she tried to stand up for that. And with her, it wasn't lip service. It was real. You know, it was something that she wanted to share with everyone, you know. And my thoughts about all of this stuff is that people need to stop hating and they need to forgive each other, you know. And I include myself in that, in forgiving the guy that did this. Okay, he don't know no better, you know. I just think of what the Lord said on the cross. Lord, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. You know?
Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Yeah. The words of Jesus. The words of Jesus there. Simple little statement that has literally went viral. Write these words down. Forgiveness is at the center of the cross of Christ. Forgiveness is at the center of the cross of Christ. The reason that Jesus came is so you and me and whoever else wants to can be forgiven and freed. That we can actually be forgiven for the things that keep us from a holy God. That we could be redeemed or bought back. Bought back. We are never more like God than when we forgive. Jesus taught this. Remember one day his disciples came to him? They said, hey, teach us to pray. Not teach us what to pray, but how to pray. What do they mean by that question? Jesus, what are the key things in building a relationship with God? Prayer between us and God. What are the key things that we need to make sure that we apply to our life all the time as we go out, as we go about a relationship with God? And Jesus listed several things. We know it as the Lord's Prayer. We'll not read it all this morning. But one of the things that Jesus said was, make sure you pray and forgive us our debts. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. The words debt and debtor in the original Greek language are a forensic term, or they are a legal term. The picture, the word picture is that you and I have a ledger on our life. And in every one of our ledgers, it bleeds red. We all got red ink in the ledger of our life. All of us are debtors. All of us. All of us have said things and done things that we should not have said and we should not have done, and that is a huge deal to a holy God who's perfect. It's a huge deal. We do not have the ability, nor do we have the capacity, to erase the red in the ledger of our life. And that is why God, in his great mercy and love, sent his Son, of which we were reminded again this morning at the table. It's why Jesus came. Jesus came and he lived a holy life and he died a horrible death, but he didn't stay dead. He rose again on the third day, defeating the greatest enemy that mankind faces, which is death itself. And now you and I can be forgiven and freed and empowered to live a life that is transformed by him day by day. And one day that transformation will be complete when he comes back for his church. Joseph would live out this idea 1,700 plus years before Jesus stepped on earth, this idea of forgiving. Look at what he said. These are powerful words in Genesis 50, 15 through 21. Follow along with me. Look at him. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, and they said, well, what if Joseph holds a grudge against us, pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him? So they sent word to Joseph saying, your father, that's Jacob, left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of God of your father. When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. We are your slaves, they said. But Joseph said, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Look how he wraps it up. So then, Joseph says, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them, and he spoke kindly to them. Wow. What an incredible scene of Joseph's forgiveness toward his brothers. All the horrible wrongs that they committed. Joseph won in life because Joseph was a guy who just kept choosing to please God instead of pleasing, when it would have been so much easier to please himself. He was a guy who kept forgiving, when it had been so much easier to just to react and to get even. And by the way, I'll just tell you, if we ever want to see racism and hate solved and done away with in this world, it will not happen when people do more of the same. In other words, if someone does something awful, and so now I rise up and choose to be awful to them, it will never, ever fix racism and hate, ever. No, the only way it's going to be fixed is through hearts changing. It's through a transformed heart. And one of the best ways that you and I can transform our heart is to receive Jesus into our lives and begin to invite him to change our life. Help us to see people the way he sees people. That's the cure to racism. That's the cure to hate. Number three, keep trusting God when you would rather give up. That's the third thing I see in Joseph's life that caused him to win well. He finished well because he just kept trusting God. Amazing. Write this down. It's always too soon to give up. It's always too soon to give up. I love Genesis 50, 22 through 40, 24 because it really gives the Joseph's legacy. Look at these verses with me. Joseph stayed in Egypt along with all his father's family. He lived 110 years and saw a third generation of Ephraim's children. Ephraim was his son. Also the children of Machir, son of Manasseh. Manasseh was another son. Were placed at birth at Joseph's knees. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am about to die, but God will surely come to your aid and take you up out of this land to the land he promised on an oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Joseph's trust in God was as strong at age 110 as it was when he was an idealistic 17-year-old. And it is flat inspiring to see that. And he left a legacy of faith. This was a guy that finished well because he just chose to trust God when he didn't understand. He chose to trust God when things went wrong in his life. He chose to trust God when everything was unfair to him. He chose to trust God when people did wrong to him. He chose to trust God when he felt like he was forgotten. He just chose to trust God. And the guy finished well. Kept trusting, kept pleasing, and kept forgiving. We have a lot of great people in Hope Church, and many of them are examples of this idea of trusting. You just trust God. And Barry and Casey Tegner are one of those. Yeah. Barry and Casey are basically answering God's call. It's something that's been stirring for months and months in them. And now's the time to take a step of faith into a new ministry, a new mission field. This church has a history of sending people out. Sending them out, whether it's across the street or in different parts of the world. And Barry and Casey, we are sending them out to Five Rock Ranch to serve as leaders there. Let me tell you, Barry has turned his company, successful contracting company, over to his partner. Casey has not renewed her teaching. She's been a longtime school teacher. She is not renewing that. It's unbelievable. They are taking a step of faith. They are trusting God that this is the next step that they have, that God has for them. Now, here's the cool thing, and I'm going to show you this video in a minute about Five Rocks. You can get a little bit of an idea of what they're going to be doing. But we've invited them to be a part of our fall missions convention in October, which is great because now they're going to share their story with four churches. It's a round robin deal, and tell how God has brought them to this point and what God is calling them to do. And it's going to be an awesome time, right? Missions convention is going to be great. We're going to bless them financially. I mean, they don't get any salary for this. They have room and board. That's it. They are trusting God. So we're going to send them out. Now, it's just in the McMinnville area, so it's not like they're on another continent. So we'll probably see them around here once a month. They'll still have some ties to Celebrate Recovery, which of course they've started and they've led, but Butch and Jenny are really going to take leadership of CR, so that continues to move forward on Tuesday nights. But we just want, for this morning, you're going to hear more of their story in the fall. You don't want to miss the first two Sundays in October. It's going to be a phenomenal week, but you're going to hear more of their story and how God has led them to this place and leading them forward, and it's going to inspire you and it's going to challenge you as well. But Bear and Case, I want you to come forward. Let's all stand. Can we do that today? And I realize this table's in the way. Maybe we can push it back or something like that, but I want you guys to come forward, and as many as want, just come and gather around them. Can we do that? And we just want to pray a sending prayer. Listen, way back in the Bible, in Antioch, right, the Antioch church laid hands on Paul and on Barnabas and sent them out, man. This church has a history of sending people out. And so we're going to do that this morning. Why don't you, for those of you that are standing, let's just extend a hand to them and let's just send them out together. Can we do that, church family? Jesus, thank you for Barry and Casey. Thank you for their willingness to say yes. Their willingness to trust you when they're not really sure how it's all going to come together, but they know what you've called them to. And so we pray, God, as they go from Hope Church, that you will lead them, protect them, guide them, fill them, and use them. Use them, Jesus. Use them. I pray, God, that you'll do what you want to do in them. I know that you have a plan to work your goodwill in their lives as well as through their lives. So I pray your love and your blessing on them. We love them. I'm so glad we get to see them still, Lord. And I just pray for your covering over their lives. I'm so excited to see what you're going to do 3 months, 6 months, a year from now. And we just pray blessing on them as they go. And we give you our thanks. Our privilege is to send out workers. One of the signs of a healthy church is people are being sent out to serve. And so we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Put your hands together and love on them.